Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Yes. Hour number two. Just past midnight here in St. Louis and found this story over on Fox 2. Longtime substitute teacher is told not to come back to Parkway South High School. Have you seen this one? I don't like stories where they inappropriately use the term bullying. Not everything's bullying. What this teacher did is not bullying. However, the school believes it is. Apparently punished the guy over it. 314-436-7900. You can call or text that line or 800-925. 1120.
The teacher, Jim Firkin, says he simply thanks students for standing up for the Pledge of Allegiance, but at least one student who did not stand felt singled out, bullied.
Did not stand for the national anthem. Okay. So what did the substitute teacher do? He went over to that kid, pushed him out of his chair, and shoved the flag in his face. Nope. That's not what he did. According to the substitute teacher, he said, thank you, everyone who decided to stand up for the national anthem.
It's a school district where school board members stand and recite the Pledge of Allegiance, and where the nickname for Parkway South High School is Patriots.
The PA announcer says, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. So I come, let's go. Kids get up. In this particular case, 24 kids in class, 22 got up. You know, so I say thank you very much, all of you that participated. I appreciate that. And I'm sure all those families that lost loved ones so that we could have the freedoms that we have today would appreciate that too. And that's what I said.
Firkin says he's been a substitute teacher for the district for about 10 years and filling in at Parkway South almost daily for the past five. Now district officials have told him he can no longer work at South, but can continue at other schools. He just told the school board he would not be doing so.
Wow. What a shame, this school board. What a shame for everyone that decided, or at least put their vote in, that said this person's not qualified to substitute teach because he thanks students for standing for the national anthem. What a terrible decision of anyone that decided that should happen. I hear a story like this, and I think back to when I was in school. I don't recall one person sitting during the national anthem. Now, I did go to a Catholic high school, and there were students that decided not to participate in religious ceremonies because it was against their religion, and that was fine. There wasn't any problem. No one said anything to them. If anything, they were ready to answer questions. I had one friend, Perry, I think he was Hindu. And we would ask him about it, like, what are those things? We don't understand. But he was very open and he would talk about it. And no one ridiculed him at all. You want to know why? Because you can decide not to participate inside of a religious ceremony. And absolutely, you shouldn't participate in a religious ceremony you don't want to, if it goes against what you believe. Now, let's go to the standing for the national anthem. I wonder if these students are so soft that they don't know what they're doing. Now, if for whatever reason you're deciding to sit for the national anthem and you're offended if someone asks you about it, if there's another student said, hey, why'd you sit down? What are you doing? If you can't answer that question, then you don't, okay? You can just decide not to answer. You can say, my business, not yours. And that could be the end of it. That's not you being bullied. That, to me, from this teacher's standpoint, is completely justified for him to make a statement to the class to say thank you, everyone that stood up. And then what point does that mean for this and any other teacher out there? Are you not allowed to say something that some other student will be singled out from here on out? Are you not allowed to say anything at all to any student that may mean, oh, like, oh, you did excellent on your homework? Oh, boy, you're singling out the people that decided to skip their homework last night. Oh, you're shaming them. What a bully that teacher is. You're telling me that you decided to point out someone that got an A on a test? Oh, boy, you're shaming everyone else that got C's and D's and F's. Boy, you're a terrible teacher now. Is that where we're at? And how sad is it that even at a high school level, you're not equipped to talk about things like this? This is a high school level. My goodness. And it's not even something controversial, I don't think.
How in the world can we go from thanking the kids for saying the Pledge of Allegiance to being charged with bullying even occur? It's kind of like saying, Miss Davis, I like your hair tonight, but if I don't say Miss Hopper, if I don't say the same thing to Miss Hopper, she gets offended. And then you guys say, as a collective group, we don't want you to come to the board meetings anymore.
That flag is not to be taken for granted, in my opinion. It is our symbol of freedom.
Superintendent Dr. Keith Marty now says the students who did not stand were humiliated and teased by the others. He also says Firkin has run afoul of school policy in the past by recording video of students at another high school without their permission and by sharing his personal contact information with students. Still, it's only after the pledge incident that Firkin has let go, and to him, it just doesn't add up.
You know what's interesting about that? Fox 2, when the reporter just said, well, he was at another school, and it doesn't, was he disciplined for those things? Are they allowed to talk about those sort of things? Are the administrators allowed to go into the record and say, well, here's some other instances where he was disciplined, or is that something that's more of a private matter? I wonder why they decided to share that information. Are they trying to look into other instances that are unrelated to justify their action because they know what they did was wrong?
Done.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, I've had enough, you know. And it's a shame. I mean, I you know, that's what I'm going to miss. I'm going to miss the kids.
Yeah. Let me get to John real quick before we go to break over in Illinois. John, what's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to call and kind of point out the hypocrisy of the age that we live in. If it would have been Gay Pride Day and, you know, all the students but two wore the, you know, the rainbow shirts or whatever, and this guy stood up and said, I just want to thank everybody for supporting Gay Pride Week. He'd be heralded as a hero of progressive modern culture. But the fact that he made a comment that could be construed as something supporting the other end of the political spectrum, of course, he's vilified and now unable to substitute teach. And I think that's the downfall of the age that we live in, is just the blatant hypocrisy. I mean, you can't even have a genuine, honest debate with anybody anymore because of the hypocrisy.
Yeah, part of this is since he's a substitute teacher, you're really scrapping together. The fact that he's working every day as a substitute means he's undervalued by that district anyway. It's a lot of times with the substitute jobs, they're just waiting for a full-time position to open up, or if there is something, they want to be at least first in line, recognized and known commodity, so they do have a better chance of getting that job, or for whatever reason. I mean, but normally when you're a substitute and you're working every day, that would indicate what you would be looking for. So for them to come to him, number one, he's got to feel undervalued to begin with, and then they throw him under the bus and tell him he can't substitute teach there anymore. I'd be done with it, too. I'd be so frustrated with that district. I wouldn't want to bother with them anymore. And then
no, I wouldn't either.
Yeah, and you're right about that. What about anything else that comes up inside of a school that's, let's say, sanctioned by the school? If another kid doesn't participate, if you thank them for participating in it, do the other kids also have the ability to try to harass their teacher for, you know, saying that they were being bullied by that person? I mean, it's just nonsense.
I agree. It's a joke.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, John.
Yep.
314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. A couple other things I want to get to. I got some tech stories this hour, too, to get to. Security news. Apparently, Japan's top cybersecurity official has never used a computer. I'm sure there's people listening right now that have never used a computer, but you wouldn't apply for a job where you are in control of the security of computers. Would it make sense? How did this guy get the job? And also, the arms race, a different type. U.S. military spending millions to fight fake images, which is a really crazy world we live in today, too. And President Trump, this was a good story. They asked him to give a grade on his presidency. You want to guess what grade he gave himself? What would you grade President Trump if you had to give him a grade for his, you know, year and a half that he's been in it so far? Well, almost 2 years coming up now. It's getting close. We'll take some of your calls on all of those things coming up on Overnight America KMOX. I knew it was just a matter of time before the Christmas music beds came back. Our sister station already started playing Christmas music nonstop. I think they launched Friday morning. I'm okay with it. I don't get excited for Christmas music. I don't seek it out. My wife loves to play it inside the house. You know, it's fine. I just, it doesn't put me in the spirit. It just doesn't. What can you do? But if you want to comment on what we were just calling about, you can do that too. Or this new topic where they're starting to grade the presidency. So Donald Trump on Sunday gave himself a grade on a scale of F to A plus. Where do you think Donald J. Trump graded his presidency so far? And what grade would you give him? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Chris Wallace asked Trump to rank yourself among the other great presidents. There's Lincoln and Washington, FDR, Reagan. Do you make the top 10? He said, I think I'm doing a great job. We have the best economy we've ever had, Trump said, adding when Wallace was talking to him. We've done really well. We would have been at war with North Korea if, let's say, the administration continued forward. Trump has repeatedly given himself high remarks. On a scale of 1 to 10, he's ranked himself 10 in other instances. His interview, which aired, he's had some up and downs. The Hill.tv poll last week found Trump's approval rating at 47% following the midterm elections. That's not bad, 47%. President Trump gave himself an A+. It's pretty high ranking, A+. Now, if I were to give the president a grade, I'm going to give him a, that's a tough one. I'm going to say B. I'm going to give him a B. There's a few things that factor into that. And where would you grade him? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. The reason I would say B is because there's some things that we are still yet to be seen. So we don't exactly know how North Korea is going to shake out, but it's promising, which is good. We don't exactly know how the tax cuts are going to shake out, but it's promising. We'll know basically in January, February, March, when people start filing, and if they're one of those people that got their tax rate reduced, I'm telling you, I'm excited because they doubled the child income, the credit for that. That's exciting for me. Told my wife we should start pumping out more kids. Now the credit's double. Well, not exactly. It's not the motivator for it. We're not having kids thanks to taxes. But it's a nice added bonus. NAFTA, that's always a good sign where they were able to renegotiate that sort of thing, even if it's not the greatest deal ever, but they were able to renegotiate it, and it's better than it was before. So you also have the economy that's still doing very well. You have unemployment that's low. And if you look at some of the minority black and Hispanic unemployment numbers, very low, which is a good sign. We want to be able to see everyone benefiting from these sort of things, okay? You also see the stock market is still pretty high, even though it's had its up and downs, it's still doing pretty good. And consumer confidence still doing well. People are still investing. You have more people looking for jobs. That's a good thing, too. Wages are starting to rise. You know, and then there's some downsides to the presidency, you know, things that are going on with these other countries like China and the trade wars, not always the greatest thing ever. I was hoping to see that be short-lived. However, it seems to be a little bit longer. We've seen other instances where the president is not that tactful when it comes to the way he handles with other countries. You know, you got these other countries, they got their own issues going on. Definitely doesn't mince words. He goes out there and tells it the way he sees it. And that doesn't necessarily help our relations. But then again, we've also had issues with these other countries. Polite doesn't necessarily mean we're putting our best interest forward. And I think that's all he's trying to do. You know, we got other instances too. We still haven't got our budget. We might have another government shutdown next month because who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what they're going to do? We keep spending more and more money. We keep having issues where we can't knock the debt down, even though I don't think anyone's anticipated us to go lower on the national debt. But man, increasingly going higher and higher and higher is definitely the wrong way to handle it. Too bad Rand Paul wasn't president. He would take a hard stance on this sort of thing. Man, that would be a good way to clean things up. But we got a mess when it comes to our budget and the way that we're spending. Record levels. You know, even though the GDP continues to rise and we're starting to see more money come into the system, we also have issues at the southern border. We haven't been able to find any funding for the wall. And where are we going to find funding for the wall if we don't have any money? I still think what the president should be doing is taking these certain deals, like let's say China, for example. Let's say the president does negotiate something with China, and they're in a terrible position, by the way. If you think we're having issues when it comes to these tariffs, China's in a terrible position, and they know it. Their economy was struggling before the president did this, and then he decides to put a pinch on them, knowing this would be an extra motivator to try to keep things quick and precise. But hey, it's still a little bit into it. It's not that long, but it's still a little into some of these trade wars. But also look at, but let's say something is renegotiated. Like we have NAFTA, for example, and we're looking at how we can bring some extra money in from Canada and Mexico and try to bring more jobs back to North America as opposed to farming it out to some of these foreign countries. You know, putting some thresholds in things like how much money these workers will be able to get. And this is a good thing too. When you say, you know, a worker in these factories, they're going to have to put a minimum wage on sort of these things, $15 an hour at some of these car manufacturer jobs. That's going to definitely favor the United States over Mexico. So there are things that are encouraging with this new deal with NAFTA. But I would rather have seen the extra money that's coming in with these trade deficits and trying to rebalance things to be earmarked to try to knock this debt down. What about with China? How about we say, okay, we're just going to, anything that we get off of this, any numbers that we negotiate, we're going to put this strictly to the national debt. I want to see us try to knock some of this down. And for heaven's sake, stop spending so much money that we don't have. If you want to reallocate money to the defense, do it. But no, you got to take it from somewhere else. And we got to stop with this spend, spend, spend stuff because it is definitely killing us, killing us. You know, even look here locally in St. Louis. Look what happened over at Westlake in the landfill there. And the EPA is going to come in and start cleaning that stuff up. That's good signs. Look what Boeing, they got a big contract with the government. They're making those new planes. That's big signs. We're actually seeing some really positive things happening here in St. Louis because of the Trump administration. You know who wasn't cleaning up Westlake? It wasn't during the Obama or Trump, or excuse me, the Obama or the Bush administration. They decided to pass. Every time that they try to put this onto their docket for a cleanup, it was always looked over and there was something else. You know, even during the Obama administration, there were problems. I mean, we're not the only community that has issues with this nuclear waste. They wanted and proposed to build what they essentially called a nuclear toilet, where they would be able to take all of this out of the ground in these certain communities like we see here in St. Louis and ship it somewhere else and be able to flush it and contain it in one area. They said no, they don't want to do that. No, uh-uh. Wasn't until this administration that they decided to put this on the front burner and actually pick this on as one of their projects, which is a great thing for our community to get that out of there. And not just our community, but the whole surrounding region. Same thing with Boeing. Look at all the extra jobs and money that's going to be coming into this economy. We need all the help we can get here. And we've actually seen some good things happening. We have. So that's why I put him at a B. If some of these other things that he campaigned on, trying to get the spending under control, looking at the southern border wall, immigration policy, you know, even though they had somewhat of an Obamacare cut inside of the last tax cuts that happened, the individual mandate side, we still have some of the lingering things that have made healthcare way out of control. We got a lot of work to do. So that's why you don't go A+ yet. I know. I think he's being optimistic that he's going to be able to accomplish everything he's wanted out of his administration. He's still got a ways to go. I don't think he can accomplish it in 4 years, but man, he's accomplished a lot in 4 years. Oh, then there's the other side of he communicates the way he wants to communicate, which ultimately he could be his own worst enemy in that point. You're just feeding the fire at sometimes. He's not really going out there trying to make friends, which ultimately speaking may be one of his assets too. All right, so how do you grade the president on a scale of F to A plus? Where do you put him? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I got a couple of other tech stories I want to get to here. And boy, if you feel underqualified to be a tech expert, don't be. Wait till you see who Japan has hired. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Here we are. Thanks for joining us here. 12:35 in St. Louis. Got a couple of tech stories to get to. Boy, oh boy, in the tech world, there's some crazy things. Every once in a while, you come across one like this one. You ever feel you're underqualified for a job you're applying for, and then you got to pad the resume to make it look like you're worthy? That's kind of like me getting this job here at KMOX. Yes, when I came into the job, I had to really hide the fact that I did not belong at the great KMOX radio station, but somehow, I was still hired here. I say that a little tongue-in-cheek, but I actually really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the process of it, and I enjoyed the ability to come in and meet the people here. I've had a great time on Overnight America for the year and a half I've been on. Wow, I can't believe it's already that point. I wouldn't say I'm underqualified. I wouldn't say I'm overqualified either. I would say I was perfect for the job, and I think that I am grateful every single day that I was given this chance. The story out of Japan, security news. Japan's top cybersecurity official has never used a computer. How in the world did you get that job? That would be like me saying, oh, I've never actually have been on a radio station. So gimme.
Okay.
Without having any notoriety behind you. There's a big difference between being known in the community and being able to be a public speaker and do all of these things and still be able to do the job. But how can you do the job of a cybersecurity expert when you've never used a computer? How is that even possible? So the most cybersecure devices are the ones that aren't connected to the internet. Like Japan Minister Cybersecurity Yoshitaki Sakurada appears to have taken the advice a little bit too far, according to Wired Magazine, admitting in front of Japanese Parliament this week that he has never actually used a computer. The nation of Japan, if you were to listen very closely, when asked whether the power plants in the country allowed USB drives to be used on the computers, Sakurada admitted he didn't know what a USB drive was. He told Parliament if they needed to have better answers, they should bring in an expert. He is the head of cybersecurity, an official, and has never used a computer. Have you ever faked your way to get a job and you were surprised they hired you? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I would love to hear that story. There's been a lot of crazy tech stories as of late. The U.S. refused to join a new global cybersecurity agreement that was created by French President Emmanuel Macron and President Trump and them in France, not on the greatest terms after what happened. You know, it was funny. I was listening to the interview with Chris Wallace today, and he was talking about one of the reasons why he didn't go to that ceremony in Paris just last week. And he said the media reported it was because of rain. He's like, I was told by Secret Service that we couldn't get to the location safely. He gave the explanation. He said it wasn't really rainy. It was mostly just foggy. But he said most of the security is all run out of Air Force One, and they have to set up shop close enough to you. And they said because of the way things were arranged and set up, they couldn't get him there and be able to secure him properly. Now, if that's really the reason, I don't know. It sounds plausible, but I can tell you that of all the articles I read, I didn't read that anywhere. I did read that after the fact, they said it was because of traffic. Sarah Huckabee Sanders put that out. But none of the reports that came out even mention any of those things. I wonder, if that was just something that was manufactured after, if that was really the case and they couldn't tell people. But still, nonetheless, there were some moments where you have the French president, Macron, up there talking about nationalism being terrible and, you know, everything should be open and free borders and, you know, live like Woodstock, man. Go out there and stomp around in the mud. And well, maybe he didn't go that far. But he talked about nationalism and how terrible that is. You know, how funny it is that France has borders, right? I mean, there's a border. I mean, why don't you just eliminate the border if you are so inclined to? I think it's insane that you have, during that time, a president taking that sort of stance. And he didn't care. So maybe that's part of the reason we just don't want to deal with him and they cut out of this cybersecurity agreement. Internet traffic was supposed to route through Google's cloud service instead went haywire and could be a hack that happened. There was other issues that went on about surveillance. There were cybersecurity experts that came out, had really big parts of their investigation talk about the surveillance of the government and how that kills freedom. And also the Mueller investigation, what's going to happen next. More people are talking about how that is. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has been charged with something. We don't exactly know what yet. Alexa, the little device that was put together based on Amazon, apparently was around when someone was murdered. Now they're trying to subpoena the information. What a way for Amazon to have to admit that they're storing all the audio and listening all the time. The United States government goes to them trying to get audio that's been stored on these servers. And Google tweeting out about a Bitcoin scam. All kinds of crazy things that have been going on in cybersecurity. But the craziest to me, how in the world did he get a job as one of the top cybersecurity officials in the country and he's never used a computer? You ever had to lie to get a job? I'm curious. Scott calling in from Jennings. What's going on?
Yes, sir. How are you doing this morning?
Good.
That's good to hear. I did lie for a job, and I'm going to be honest with you.
How old were you?
I got out of the Navy, and I was about 21, and I got out of the Navy, and I got a job. I liked Hawaii. I thought the weather was nice. I like San Diego, too, but I went to Oahu, and I got a job at a hotel, and I said I was a sous chef already, and I was a cook in the Navy,
yeah, but
I never made sous chef, you know? I went ahead and lied about it, lied about school a little bit, lied about where I went, you know, and they hired me, and they didn't check anything.
Not at all.
So what I'm thinking now, what you just said, I should have said I was a cybersecurity guy, and that would have been that would have been perfect because I could have said, just because you use a computer one time, I guess you get a job.
He said he's never used a computer. He doesn't even know what a USB is.
He's never used a computer.
Oh, so terrible.
I would even been better then.
All right, so were you ever uncomfortable once you got the job and got down there? Were you ever out of place?
No, because all of a sudden I thought to myself, I am a sous chef.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. I am a sous chef. I've made it. I did it for 4 years in the Navy, so I am a sous chef. Later on, when I moved back to Las Vegas, I couldn't lie anymore. You know, there was no lie there. There was no, they're going to check your, you know, history and stuff like that.
In Vegas?
When I moved back to Las Vegas and I got married and everything, I didn't want to lie anymore. But I guess deep down inside, when I was in Hawaii, I was feeling bad about lying about that because I would have to tell other people.
Yeah,
you know, that's the problem right there.
Yeah,
is I would have to tell other people that I worked with. Well, what'd you do? Well, I made sous chef here, and that was a ridiculous part of it. Is because you feel guilty later, like you just said.
Of course you do. You know, I had to look up what that was. I had no idea. So a sous chef means you were second in command in the kitchen.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I had to look that up.
You're under the auspices of the. Head chef.
Yeah. Well, once you got in, you did your thing. You had to mentally prepare yourself to buy into the lie, which I think is pretty funny. We had an issue here.
That's the hard part, too. Yeah. That's another hard part is because you do have to it doesn't matter where you're at, I think. You have to always pretend, and it really is pretending, that you are worthy of that position.
Yeah. You have to keep going at it. We had this issue here, was it just last year in St. Louis, where a woman faked being a nurse and was working on all of these people, and it turned out later she wasn't licensed or didn't even go to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how things like that slip through the cracks. Teachers, too. People without any degree getting these, without any sort of people checking.
Well, it happens in politics, too.
Yeah, you know, was it Florida or Georgia?
Yeah.
There was a politician that claimed to go to college, or Ohio. I forgot what state it was.
She went to college. Well, it's just like, you know, we always, they make fun of this now, Pocahontas, you know, and lying about your history, or lying about your schooling, or lying about your, you know, education, or your work history.
Uh-huh.
That's the problem, and you always have to deal with that. And it's not that you probably don't believe in it. She might actually believe in that, and that could have happened in her family, and it was mentioned down the history through years and years of saying, you know. But I don't know how you can deal with that without checking that out, and without somebody else checking it out too.
Yeah, I don't know.
And all they had to do was check my work history at that time when I was younger.
One call.
And say, oh, my goodness, he was in the Navy. He didn't make sous chef yet. You know?
All right, Scott, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
All right, sous chef. Wonder if you get a cool little hat, one of those white Ratatouille hats. I'm sure you do. A couple of other interesting cyber stories for you. A couple of Facebook ones. There's some growing pressure for Mark Zuckerberg to step down. Isn't that a little crazy? We'll get to that coming up on Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America, here we are. Welcome back. A couple of Facebook stories. Their investors are calling on Mark Zuckerberg to resign as chairman. It's a tough position to be in. They tried to do the same thing with Elon Musk. I don't know who they are when they say Facebook investors. Who are the investors? If they're just a group of people online that have a couple of stock, or if it's actually a legitimate call. Because, you know, you can grab a few people online. Oh, yeah, I got stock. And it really is not a representation of really what the investors want. So Facebook investors have called on the company's chief executive, Mark Zuckerberg, to step down as chairman. This is from The Telegraph. The attack on Zuckerberg is set to complicate the daunting challenge facing Sir Nick Clegg, Facebook's new global head of policy and communications, who has been asked to conduct a review of Facebook's use of lobbying firms. Facebook is behaving like it's its own special snowflake. He said, it's not. It's a company, and companies need to have separation of chair and CEO. So as they get this report on Facebook, there they are. The business has also been accused of attempting to encourage journalists to report that anti-Facebook groups were linked to Mr. George Soros himself. Oh, how about that? Zuckerberg and Sir Nick have been under pressure following reports Facebook hired Definers, a Republican public relations firm, to help repair its reputation following its intense criticism of social media platform following the Russian interference in the elections at Cambridge Analytica. They did this to themselves. The data that they sold was the data that they sold. They decided to sell it. They made the conscious decision to. They decided to let ads onto their platform. They took their money. They did exactly what they were supposed to be doing, making money, and they didn't care how they were doing it. So taking ads during the election, sure. I'm sure other social media platforms did it to some extent, but Facebook's the one that got the most in trouble for it. When you have this Mueller investigation going on and they're looking into where was money being spent, was it just some trolls, as Donald Trump would say, in mom's basement or whatever? What did he say? It was some hackers in mom's basement or whatever that are defining, for whatever reason, as if there was this giant global conspiracy or whatever it was. Or maybe it could be something bigger than that. But either way, Facebook was complicit in it. So Facebook has retained a high level of control over their social network business, which was founded in 2004 due to his combined role and his ownership of a stake representing about 60% of the company's voting shares, 60%. So I feel like he doesn't have to step down. I don't think he should. I mean, you handle it, you made your decisions and you handle it. You know, Facebook apparently patented a creepy feature. Fox News pointed this out last week. Said Facebook is eyeing the future technology that could suggest friends that are physically nearby. The data would be combined with other criteria, such as users likely that had meetings and how long the meetings lasted. So do you like that if you have this Facebook app or whatever, and your GPS turned on, and your Messenger all downloaded and things like that, it's collecting all of this data in order to try to convince you to be friends with someone you're nearby? You know, when I was younger, that might have been appealing. Like, okay, you know, it's fun. You know, there might be some people here that Facebook could recommend, and this might be a fun little thing to do. But as I'm older and I look back at this, this is terribly creepy, and I don't want any of my kids being able to get located through these features. You know, some jerk lies about their age and tries to pick up kids through this because he's looking for people that are close and nearby to them. I mean, think of all the ways this could be abused. It's terrible. So the problem is that essentially guesswork on Facebook's part that may or may not include actual acquaintances or friends. It also says proximity between the first user and the second user, a frequency of meetings between the first user and the second user, a duration of each of the inferred meetings between the first and second user, or a pattern of occurrences between the first and second users, how they're going to determine this sort of thing. That scares me. It's like there were dating apps or whatever it was that were used in this sort of fashion. You know, as every time someone gets close to me that's on this dating app, why don't you send me a message? And, you know, if we are a match, and then we can just say hi to each other in person for the first time. Why? Why would someone voluntarily want to be sought out by a stranger that could stalk you? Just think of the people that could stalk you on these sort of things. And then how they can abuse this sort of thing to find you. How would you like someone getting an alert every time you're close? Like your own little TMZ running around. And it also says, people you know has been an important feature in building the social network, which has more than 2 billion monthly active users. Wow. Facebook just finding more ways to be more intrusive. Marjorie calling in from Columbia. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. This is kind of a lengthy story, and I'll short it as much as I can.
Okay.
My uncle passed away. He had a daughter whom he had not seen in 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
He had seen his grandson when he was a baby, and that was it.
Okay.
But they totally lost touch with everybody, and his side of the family. We couldn't find him. So we wanted to let her know that her father had passed away,
mm-hmm.
and we wanted to do it in a you know, a timely fashion. Well, I looked up classmates. We did find amongst his possessions that 30 years ago she had sent him an invitation to her high school graduation.
Okay,
so we knew what high school she graduated from.
Uh-huh.
Well, I looked up classmates, and I was able. I just picked out at random like 3 or 4 people. Well, on the fourth one, I got a hold of a man who graduated in that class. He didn't know her, but he knew who in Facebook kept in touch with the different graduates.
Right. Okay,
and let her know. She got in touch with me. I told her the particulars, who it was, what we were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
She put it out on Facebook, and someone who knew her contacted her, and then she was able to contact me.
Wow.
And I was able to get her in contact with the rest of the family.
How about that?
And then she was able to go out of town with the rest of the family.
Wow, Marjorie, that's an excellent story.
To put his ashes in the ground.
Wow. What a story! And you got it all in right before we go to break. That's great.
Okay.
We should have saved that for Tell Me Something Good. Marjorie, have a great night. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Wow, nice story. An Overnight American. KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.